The same reasoning, but from another angle, can be applied in the case of animals and in work for animals. I have before me this question, quote, "How should one consider the question of animals in regard to treatment? I have had some nice healing work for animals, especially pet dogs, but seemed to get into a difference of opinion when I said to a dear friend practitioner, 'We should not call them ideas.' Will you kindly explain?" Close quote. This question was presented a few years ago, and at that time we went into the subject rather briefly, but it might be well to touch on it at this point. Mrs. Eddy does not make any difference between mortal animals and mortal man in some respects. In fact, all there is in existence is God and man. Man includes everything in God's universe. An animal or a mortal is simply mortal mind's classifications of the objects of its own creating. The human consciousness creates and beholds both mortals and animals. God knows nothing about either. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy writes, quote, "Animals and mortals metaphorically present the gradations of mortal thought, rising in the scale of intelligence, taking form in masculine, feminine, and neuter gender." Close quote. Here, she refers to the material qualities of mortals and animals and tells us that they present gradations of mortal thought. Therefore, the same mortal thought or mortal mind which an animal manifests is the same mortal mind which a mortal manifests. There is only one mortal mind, or only one claim of mortal mind, in all infinity. Just as the divine mind is one, existing outside of man, and is reflected by man, so the carnal mind claims existence as one mind outside of mortal man. All humans express the same carnal mind. There was only one carnal mind for the use of all of us, just as there is but one divine mind. The counterfeit is a counterfeit at all points. So, if the divine mind exists as one, the counterfeit must claim existence as one. In the above quotation, Mrs. Eddy attributes the same mortal thought to animals as she does to mortals. But in Science and Health, speaking in terms of the spiritual, she also says, quote, "God is the life, or intelligence, which forms and preserves the individuality and identity of animals as well as of men." Close quote. Here she refers to the spiritual identity of both men and animals, and you will note that they are the same. From this, it is clear that there is no distinction between the spiritual qualities of animals and of men, and therefore the spiritual qualities which constitute the identity of man would be the same as would constitute the identity of animals. Therefore, the identity of man constitutes the identity of animals, and they are one. Man, spiritually speaking, includes animal. If you could refer to man as a spiritual idea, you could refer to animal as a spiritual idea. But remember always that the distinction between man and animal, or the classification man and animal, is purely a distinction or classification of the human consciousness. God knows nothing about a human man or a material animal. In using the term spiritual idea in connection with either man or animal, you would watch that no sense of confusion enter into consciousness through a material sense of either. Man, then, spiritually speaking, includes animal because the spiritual identity of each is the same and remains in God. A treatment for man would be all that would be necessary in the case of what mortal mind calls an animal. There isn't anything in all creation that is not the image and likeness of God. Therefore, there is nothing in all creation that would not come under the title of man. The qualities of thought, those qualities which constitute the individuality and identity of man, also constitute the individuality and identity of animals. Faithfulness, love, intelligence, all or any qualities which might be manifest through either man or animal would constitute true individuality and identity. God knows nothing about spiritual qualities as belonging to a dog or a mortal. God is conscious only of his qualities or ideas, and these ideas constitute man, no matter whether they may be humanly conceived to belong to a mortal or to belong to an animal. The assignment of the human consciousness and not of the divine mind. God is ever conscious of love, but not as belonging to an individual mortal. God is conscious only of his qualities or ideas, and those ideas constitute man, no matter whether they may be humanly conceived to belong to a mortal or to an animal. God knows nothing about mortals or animals. He knows only his qualities, and those qualities constitute man. You and I consign these qualities to humans or animals, none of which exist in God's kingdom. Intelligence, while a God quality, does not belong to a human or an animal, as far as God is concerned. Intelligence, God, is one. Intelligence reflected is man, whether it be manifested through a mortal or through an animal. Intelligence does not lose its parenthood or its identity or individuality through reflection. The individuality and identity of all divine ideas remain eternally in the divine mind from whence they emanate. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy tells us, quote, "Man is a compound idea of God, including all right ideas." Close quote. Therefore, anything that a mortal or an animal might include as individuality or identity would be man. Man includes his universe. Therefore, if there is any divine quality which you and I humanly may attribute to an animal as its identity or individuality, that divine quality must be included in the generic term man. So, in treating animals, the truth about God and man is all that one has to know. The identity or individuality of man or of animal lies in God and not in man or animal. There are many things I would like to take up with you today, but I shall have to close. Perhaps I shall someday learn to finish my remarks within a reasonable time. Before closing, however, let me give you a few brief statements to take with you. Remember that your concept of God constitutes your God. That man is as infinite as God and as pure and holy as God. That man is not materially outlined, formed, or shaped. that man does not fill space or exist in place. He is consciousness. That man does not include. He reflects. That man does not contain. He expresses. That man is an involuntary expression of God and cannot help but be as perfect as his Maker. That man is God's responsibility and is himself under no individual responsibility, liability, or obligation. That God manifests himself as man. That God maintains his own reflection in infinity and throughout eternity. That man's individuality and identity remain eternally in mind, and that man is inspired, animated, governed, and controlled by God. That man includes his universe, and that man and his universe are one. That life includes man, and man does not include life. That's the end of this address.